Welcome to The Other Side of 40. My name is April Grant, and I'm here to help women make positive changes with their lives after the age of 40. Let The Other Side of 40 become your community to find inspiration and support to start the next chapter of your life. Today, our guest is Cindy Constable. Cindy is in the business of helping leaders break the mold. She is the co-founder of Results Global Impact Consulting Agency, a boutique consulting firm founded in 2011, designed to help leaders create a highly engaged customer base by utilizing the right types of digital marketing and strategies to fully engage the marketplace. Her agency work takes her to over 15 countries a year for paid speaking and corporate consulting. There is also an online business division of the agency that produces courses, coaching, books, and masterclasses for entrepreneurs. Cindy is an accomplished public speaker, including having given a TEDx talk. She holds a master's degree in business administration and has worked in the finance sector for the past 25 years. Cindy brings traditional business practices that help entrepreneurs and high-level leaders not just make money, but build a business that scales. We would like to welcome Cindy Constable.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Can you tell us about your journey? What about your journey took you here, and what made you want to be on this particular podcast, The Other Side of 40?
Well, for me, The Other Side of 40 has been probably the most tumultuous and interesting part of my journey. And I know as a younger person, I think we kind of look at 40 as old. And now that I'm almost 50, I'm thinking, well, you know what? 70's young. And it's just the amount of life experience you get as you go through things is just so interesting. And I just thought, you know, I'm 40. When I turned 40, which is about 8 years ago now, what do I want to do with my life? What have I done? What haven't I done? And at that time, by standard measure, I had achieved a lot of the objectives.
Yes.
But I still wasn't fulfilled despite that.
Yeah.
So I started to think I need to do some things differently if I want to really, really feel like I'm living at my fullest.
I mean, I definitely get you. I mean, the reason I started this was I did a lot of those things. I even became a stay-at-home mother, which I never thought I'd be, and enjoy immensely spending time with my kids. And then I looked at everything that I had accomplished. You know, I've been happily married. We've been married for 13 years this year. And I really thought that everything was just be happy, you know? And then I look around and I wasn't. What was your awakening moment to make you make changes, or what happened before?
Well, I made the most stark changes about 3 years ago. Prior to that, so just for context, I turned 40 in 2012.
Okay.
And I was in great shape. I worked out. I had a great job, C-suite, 401k, you know, all the things. My husband and I had been married for, you know, eons at the time. And it was good, but I really embarked on a personal development journey at that point. And I was hardcore into personal development. And about 2014, I started doing business on the side, doing consulting, strategic planning, operations, business development. And my background, I've been a CFO for decades, master's in business, all the good things. And in 2017, my husband passed away.
Oh, man.
And it was at that point that I realized that something was off. That here I was, if you look outside looking in, everything was so spectacular, but it really wasn't spectacular because I wasn't doing a lot of the things that I wanted to do, which one was travel extensively, work from anywhere, and not be tied to a desk. And the job that I had as upper management for a city really had me tied to a desk. And my husband was 42 when he passed away.
Oh my God.
So the other side of 40 didn't happen for him.
Right.
And all I could think was, you know, we had all these things that we were going to do. And 2-3 months, almost 4 months after he passed away, I quit my job.
Wow. I've,
you know, been there for decades. I had no earthly idea what or how I was going to do it. I just walked in and quit my job and knew I needed to be there for my kids to help them get through what they needed to get through so I could be home.
Right.
And not have to schedule my daughter's grief counseling, like around meetings in the schedule. And so right. I just quit my job and went full time in my consultancy. And that was beginning of 2018. And I haven't looked back. I've been a full-time entrepreneur since. And I've literally traveled the world. I've been to, I don't know, a dozen or so countries in Europe and Asia and South America and lots of places in the US. And so I've just been, you know, have Wi-Fi will work. And it's been tremendous. And I don't know, I definitely wouldn't have done it in my 30s. Even partway through my 40s, I didn't necessarily think I could. I had wanted to. And I want to say from 2014 to 2017, I had talked to my girlfriends about it so much. Yes. Like, to the point where they were like, just girl,
do it already.
Just do it. And I eventually did it. But, you know, it took a major catalyst for me to say, what am I waiting for?
I feel you on that. I mean, even this podcast, I've actually had a podcast a little while ago. I did it. I started it. Scheduling got complicated. And I kept making excuses for myself. You know, I can't do it because the kids are too loud. I got to get out of here. I have to do it this way. I need a partner so I can always have someone to talk to. And then it got to the point on what am I really waiting for? Because none of these things are actually going to change. I mean, yes, my kids are going to grow up, but mm-hmm. unless we move, we're still going to have the same size house. We're still going to have the same constraints. I'm going to still want to talk to people. So that's why I'm interviewing. But I can do both without the fear of not going through or saying that I didn't do it. Because the worst thing that could happen is I do it and it doesn't work. But if I never try it, then you will never know. So exactly. Tell us a little bit about your consulting business.
So I operate as a strategic partner with businesses. The modality that I specialize in is strategic planning in particular, but I do virtual COO, so virtual chief operating officer type services. So we work on adjusting and improving their operations, generating additional revenue, and helping the business have a greater impact or have the impact that they were looking to have, but somehow they got off course as you know you were doing the day-to-day in your business. And I find for small business owners in particular, it's a struggle to zoom out and look at the landscape and what's possible for your business when you're stuck in kind of the day-to-day operations. And so I like to help businesses put together that plan for what's possible and how would they make it happen.
Awesome. So for a woman who is just starting their journey, they've had their epiphany, they've had their awakening, and they're like, I want to jump on my business. What do they do first? Or what would you suggest to them to do first?
Well, I hear from a lot of business owners that they think they're not big enough for strategic plan or they don't need it until they're bigger. But my answer is the opposite, that you do need it. Because if we look at what the elements of a strategic plan actually are, the first thing is your mission statement. And your mission statement says why you exist. So understanding why your business exists and what the impact is you want to have in the world, who it is you want to help, why you want to help them, and what is that going to look like when it happens is the first step in a strategic plan. So I think it's vitally important. The second step is your values. What is important to your organization? What's important to you as a business owner? Why you exist is your mission, and what is important to you are your values. And then the step right beyond that is your vision plan. So what do you want to be? So you decided why you exist, what is important to you, so you know what you're not going to compromise as far as your values go, and then what do we want to be? If my why and my what line up, what would my business look like? What would the impact be in the world? How would that transpire, or how would that manifest? those are the first three steps in your strategic plan. So I think, yes, you need to have those. Beyond that is your strategy. So the next step is your strategy. So you know why, what, and then what's it going to look like? Mm-hmm. And then how you get there is the strategy piece.
Right.
A lot of business owners start with the, how am I going to get there?
Right.
What is my brand going to look like? What is my marketing going to look like? Do I sell physical products or e-commerce? So strategy is the fourth step. The fifth right. step is your balanced scorecard, all the objectives, the KPIs. What are you measuring? Mm-hmm. How do you know that you've achieved success? Because what does it even look like if you're not measuring? Then you've got your implementation plans and then your personal plans. And inside of that is your SWOT analysis and your PESTEL analysis and your communication plan. Those are all the bigger pieces that come.
Right.
But as a business owner, doing those types of things like a SWOT is your assessing your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities, and your threats as a small business owner or any size business, really. I work with really large businesses as well. It's important to know those things. Mm-hmm. But beyond that is your PESTEL analysis, which stands for political, economic, social, technology, legal, and environmental. You need to know what those threats are. Our current circumstance is a great example of that. So if you hadn't done any means testing or stress testing on your business, meaning you didn't know how much cash flow you needed to survive for X amount of days, you didn't think about your supply chain disruption and what that would do to your business, if you couldn't deliver to your customers in the same way. So you're kind of making those decisions on the fly when you don't have a plan, which is why I'm passionate about businesses of all sizes having a strategic plan. And I can tell you from having been in the corporate arena a long time in the finance sector for 28 years, there was no large business I worked for. And I've worked for Bank of America, Morgan Stanley, counties, cities, you know, as the finance officer, there was no large organization that I worked for that didn't have a strategic plan. They weren't making decisions on the fly. They weren't just doing things willy-nilly. And of course, you know, having that, then it's the communications piece. How do you communicate that down to your stakeholders, to the people that are in your corner? If you're a solopreneur, how are mm-hmm. you communicating what it is you do to your family, or maybe to a spouse that's not bought in? If you're a little bit bigger and you have some team members, how are you communicating that, you know, vision, mission, plan, objective to your employees so that they can be bought in? So I think, you know, from where I sit, it's important for everybody.
Well, you know, if we back it up just a little bit, the first three, the three foundational elements, and I know so many people like to gloss over it, their mission, their vision, and their vision plan. And what I have found working with businesses for me is when those three are solid, the rest kind of flows easier because you're not making decisions based on trends and what new shiny object is coming up, because you know exactly what direction you're trying to head. And a lot of the side ideas that people come, because especially as a small business owner, you get a lot of people feeding into your head all the time. You should just do this and you should just do that. And then they take off down that road, but that's very contrary to their mission or their vision, but it sounded good. So exactly. They went that direction. They went to the right. They went to the left. And then, you know, 6 months down the line, they look back and say, I don't understand why I haven't grown. And it's like, because you started going down this weird path that did not align with your mission and vision. It sounded good. It sounded fun, but it was more about the trend. It's more about just being fun than it is about actually putting in the work to make sure your business grows.
Yeah. There's lots of good ideas. All those good ideas don't necessarily need to be implemented. And as entrepreneurs, we tend to be innovative. It's yes. why we're entrepreneurs. We're coming up with solutions. You know, when you're an entrepreneur, you're looking for a problem in the marketplace and you are creating the solution to solve that problem. But if you don't have a plan as to what you're doing, you know, shiny object syndrome is a real thing. And we can be running off in tangents and doing things. And I talked about this the other day on Instagram that sales is not the answer. Yeah. You know, as entrepreneurs, we can sell some stuff and make some money, and that's great. But sales aren't really what drive your business and keep it going. It's the operations piece. It's why are you doing what you're doing? When this great idea comes up, does it fit? If you go back to step three, where you have that vision, if your vision is for your business to look a certain way,
yeah,
doing this tactic or this strategy, is that going to get me to my vision? Is it going to help me realize my vision? If it's not, doesn't make it a bad idea. It just makes it not the right thing for your business to be doing. And I think for me, my personal belief is that's the problem with a lot of entrepreneurs, is they haven't taken the time to plan, to strategize, and really document that stuff. So then they're running all over the place, signing up for this marketing course and that content creation course and this coaching class, yep, because they don't really know what they want their business to look like. And so they're just trying all of these different tactics and they're treading water. They're not really getting where they want to be. Mm-hmm. A strategic plan also helps you know what to say no to. It, yep, helps you create that stop doing list. Instead of adding to your list and I should be doing this or I should be doing that, it helps you formulate your business in such a way that that org chart that currently has your name in every single position, you start to know when it's time to fill some of those seats with other people. And what does that look like? And how would that work? And how do I know it's working? That's what your KPIs or key performance indicators are for. Mm-hmm. What am I going to measure to know that it's time to scale? It's time to grow. And everybody wants to scale. Everybody wants to be a 7-figure, 8-figure earner. Those are not things you hear in the corporate world, but in the small business world, you hear that.
Yeah.
Well, scaling a lot of times just means they want to make more money. But what does your business look like if you're actually going to grow it? What is the methodology? Because if you start to make a lot of sales, you can lose customers. Why? Because suddenly you don't have the same quality control you had before.
Right.
Your delivery mechanism wasn't built for your business to double overnight. You don't have enough help. Now you want to hire a VA really fast and have them do all kinds of things that you don't even have documented processes for.
Right. So you spend a lot of time explaining to them and re-explaining and working with them. And then
service is terrible. And yeah.
And as we come back as an entrepreneur, we're also typically a perfectionist or a perfectionist in our business. So then we just say, screw it. VAs don't work. I'll do it all myself, which, yes, you can't scale because if you're doing everything, there's just no way. You are a limited resource. So you can't get bigger and you can't do more. Unless you never plan on ever sleeping again or spending any time with anyone else. And then once you max out that 24 hours though, you still, if you are successful to max out those 24 hours, you still need to grow or you would still want, yeah, to grow. So it's about the processes and putting them in place. And what I found interesting is I've never heard of Pestle, which I definitely need to look more into. I think you've given us a lot of good nuggets on a lot of acronyms and words that we really need to think about in growing our businesses, because a lot of people start with just kind of a hobby. It's something they like to do. And then it turns into a business. And sometimes people don't realize they need to really take a few steps back and start from the beginning to actually grow it as a company versus a hobby.
Yes. And I say that often, like making money online is easy. Growing a business is a whole different process. You know, you can be a practitioner or a technician who knows how to do something really well. And so you start a business. But running and operating a business is very, very different. There's a different skill set. It's kind of like when you are wanting to get into management. Management skills are different than the skills you needed to be an employee. Running a business efficiently, effectively, that has the room to grow and the ability to grow successfully and be sustainable is a different skill set. So for me, employing a virtual COO like myself, where I can guide you through what those steps look like and help you actually determine what you need to do differently in your business so that it can be sustainable and grow, you know, what type of cash flows do you need? What's a P&L? You know, just simple, mm-hmm, things that are really make a huge difference in your business so that you can actually have a business for the long term and you're not frazzled and, you know, running all over the place. Because really, you know, as you do more things in your business, you have diminishing returns because you can't, right, be effective at all things. And when we're not operating in our zone of genius, which is doing the thing you do best. So if you're like a kick-ass web designer, but suddenly you're building funnels or you're dealing with customer service or you're doing sales, you're doing all of the things, you're time for client fulfillment where you build that kick-ass website is diminished because you have to do all of these other things. So understanding, and for me, it's that shift in mindset. It's thinking like a CEO versus like an employee, because the CEO of a corporation is not answering the customer service line.
Gotcha.
Not that it's beneath them in any way.
No.
But they understand what their role is in the company and the things that they need to do. And we all start somewhere. But as you move up and you start to grow, you have to understand, where do I delegate? What can I give to someone else? And what does that look like? That looks like having a plan. And that's, and I want to stress that your strategic plan is by no means the be all end all, you know, to making it big. It is a living, breathing document. So it is only as effective as it is you referencing it, you making the changes. Like right now during this whole COVID season, if you had a plan that you created at the end of 2019 for your 2020 fiscal year, you got to change some things up because 2020 is not quite turning out how we planned.
Not at all.
So you needed to go pull out your SWOT, pull out your PESTEL, pull out your revenue forecasts, pull out your communications plan, and revamp those things because we clearly have new threats in place.
Yeah.
There's also been a lot of opportunities created. So if you're looking at your SWOT, you may have uncovered some weaknesses in your business that you didn't know existed prior to this time. And then you also uncovered strengths that you didn't know you had. And if you take that further into the PESTEL piece, which is something most business owners have never heard of and not done, which is why you need somebody like me, a facilitator, to help you with this stuff. But our political landscape has definitely changed.
Yes.
You know, what the government is doing, policies that are coming out, the stability of our government and our laws and what's happening has changed. The economic landscape, well, forget it. It's been obliterated for some people.
Yeah.
So understanding what's going to look like growth, you know, what rates are going to do. There's a lot of stuff there that affects you as a business socially. Everything has changed socially. I mean, we're all social distancing now. That's not something a lot of us have done before.
Right.
Then the tech, the amount of stress that was created by school systems trying to suddenly do distance learning. I mean, the tech was a big hurdle for companies who didn't have remote workforces. Tech, big hurdle. You know, we saw Zoom, who suddenly has like skyrocketed into the limelight. They got a lot of backlash for their lack of security and different things because they weren't designed for that. And then the legal, if you're suddenly doing things, you know, an industry that suffered with the legal was telehealth, telemedicine, because you have to be HIPAA compliant. And so suddenly you're seeing patients over Zoom or some other platform, or you're doing mental health appointments, you needed to have all of the right things in place. And then environmental, you know, we live in Florida.
Yeah.
Hurricane season's coming. So that's a weather challenge that we're going to have to deal with. So there's just so many things that are uncovered in the PESTEL that is kind of a deeper level of SWOT. And so for me, it's so important for businesses to do this and to kind of have that stress test. You know, I equate it to, you know, if you're having a problem with your heart, the doctor sends you for a stress test. Mm-hmm. They put you on a treadmill and they make you walk and they hook you up to nodes so they can collect data and information about what is your heart doing when they put it under stress.
Yes.
For me, having a strategic plan is a stress test. Gotcha. What is my business doing when I put it under stress?
Yes.
If you've never done scenario planning, you've never done any means or stress testing, you don't even know what to do.
Right.
So I think business owners really need to look at their business like a business owner.
Yes.
And not like an employee. I think it's just that whole mindset shift.
And when you even talk about the mindset shift, I was really thinking a lot about the opportunity side. Because I know prior to COVID and us social distancing, so many companies were like, we cannot take this online. There is no way for us to do our business online. It's impossible. And you had marketing companies and you had business owners or marketing execs or strategic planners tell them you need to at least invest some time into getting in that space. And a lot of it was blown off. And now all of a sudden, if you want to operate, 90% of your work right now is online. And so Absolutely. Some companies have thrived because they made that quick shift and they said, you know what, screw it. I mean, I'll even say it for my own church. I love my church. They've done a great job, but I spent a time before saying, aren't we recording our services or sermons? And, you know, there was a lot of excuses, a list of excuses why they can't, but now everything's online. So now they have multiple services a week online, great production value. They had all the tools. It was just taking the time to actually do it and not really valuing that they can still have a connection with their audience if they don't come to a building. And they're seeing right. that now firsthand. So
yeah, they can grow their reach. They can scale their offering that yes. way. So, and I agree. That's why I feel like your SWOT and your PESTEL and your communications plan are probably the three most important pieces to revamp during this crisis. If you don't have a plan at all, then, you know, we got to start from scratch, and that's okay too. But it really reveals a lot of things that you wouldn't have thought of, because it's really an exercise in brainstorming. You know, you're brain dumping all of the things and what are we doing and how do we do it. And for me, the beauty of having a facilitator, you know, like myself, come in and help a business is you can't see your own blind spots.
Right.
So if you're doing your own brain dump and your own plan and your own thing, and it's, you know, you and your business partner or your, whoever that may be, my business partner happens to be my husband, mm-hmm. or if it's you and your VA or you and a friend or just you, your ability to expand your field of view or your focus is limited by what you think you can accomplish because you're only doing it yourself. Right. The beauty of having a facilitator is I'm a bird's eye view. I'm outside looking in your business. So I'm not mired down in whatever limitations you have created for yourself and your business. I'm there to guide you towards possibility. What things would be possible if we cast off the net and said, okay, where do I want to go? Because we're going to have created that vision, and that vision is going to be the highest and best use of your business. And so to get there, let's look at all of the ways that we can do things differently. Now, granted, some of those things may take time, you know, years to deploy, and that's okay, because if your business is built to be sustainable, it doesn't matter if it's going to take 3 years or 5 years to make that happen.
Yeah.
And, you know, in our current crisis, you know, I'm not recommending that people create 3 and 5 year plans. We're actually looking at through the end of the year, and we're doing like kind of quarterly analysis because things are rapidly changing right now, and we haven't really seen the fallout economically of what it's like to have 20 something million people out of work.
Right.
You know, so there's just some things that we are doing differently right now than we would do otherwise, but it also helps you be out of fear when you have a facilitator, which is why I like to call myself a strategic partner for the business. Mm-hmm. I'm not there to do the work for you. I'm there to hold you accountable, provide you with a path so that you can look at and do those things, you know, to help keep your business afloat.
Well, I really liked what you said about you aren't limited by the person's limitations. So mm-hmm. we spend a lot of time limiting ourselves of what we can and can't do and figuring out ways we can't fulfill a certain need or role.
Right.
And sometimes, and like you said, often it's out of fear. So, you know, you don't want to get involved in it because maybe it's going to grow too fast or it's going to be too much, or it's scary. New things are scary, and new things suggested by other people are scary. So I think it's very important to realize that there are people out there like Cindy who can help you come in and see the holes and help you figure out a way to cover the holes and keep your business going and thriving. What is one of the elements that you really need to work on right now during COVID?
I think the most important thing that you need to do right now during COVID is to look at your planning process. So if you've never done a SWOT analysis, which is strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, threats, it's important. If you haven't done the PESTEL, it's important, but also to know the difference that planning and strategy are not the same thing. So planning is a process from today going forward.
Gotcha.
What am I going to do? Strategy is a process from starting in the future and going backwards.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So really strategic planning is kind of a bit of an oxymoron when you think about that. So, you know, your mission, your vision, and your strategy, you know, have to work concurrently. But when you start your planning process, that's from here forward. What am I going to do in my business from this point forward to achieve my goals? Okay. And the strategy piece is, okay, so if I know I want my business to look like this at the end of the year, what strategies do I employ in a backwards reverse engineer to make that happen?
Oh, so it's more like the strategic plan is more like you're looking at the top of the mountain and you're trying to figure out how you get up there. Whereas yes. the vision planning is more, this is where I want to go.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
That's when you're just taking those pieces and you're kind of peeling them back and you're saying, okay, you know, everyone's talking about the critical pivot that you have to make right now.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's great, but growth is not a linear process either. You know, it's not like we're going to get from here to there. So you really want to rewire thinking to be more outcome focused, because that's what creates your differentiating advantage. So what is the outcome that I want to achieve? And then you're going to work from there and then define what activities do I need to take to create that outcome. And then your plan helps you determine, like, how am I going to measure that? Like, how do I know, you know, I've achieved it? So you want to know what new outcomes, you know, or strategies do you need to implement? You know, how are you going to operate differently? If you have a team, you know, how will you as a team, you know, get breakthrough and change things that are going on? Do you have new capabilities? Have you started, you know, if you're a restaurant and now you're only doing curbside or delivery, you know, how can you make that a, you know, a fabulous experience for the customer? What does that look like? So those are just things that they need to look at now, is just reevaluate what you're doing. And of course, I'm going to recommend that you have somebody help you with that.
Right.
Even if it's a friend, if you can't afford a facilitator right now,
yeah,
have somebody that you can bounce those ideas off of so you don't limit your own thinking.
So I have a question. Now that we're in it and a lot of people have pivoted or changed their outlook, you just brought up a perfect example. Dining establishment now can't do sit-in, dine-in. They have to do takeout. Would you recommend that in their planning, they keep these pivots in their business and incorporate them into their systems, or just have an expectation that that's going to go back to normal?
Well, that's a great question. And my answer is going to be, it depends. Mm-hmm. It depends on what you needed to do to pivot. So like some industries, for example, recalibrated their factories to make PPE, you know, personal protective equipment. That's not going to be a pivot they're going to keep.
Right, you know, right.
Those clothing manufacturers are not going to continue to make PPEs. Is it a line of business they'll add? Possibly. Restaurants are going to want to do dine-in. When this is over, people are more than likely going to really want to be able to gather. But if you didn't offer, you know, DoorDash or any of these services before, yeah, you're probably going to want to keep them, because some people may have found you via that. So the way to answer that is, what does your plan say? What have you done to evaluate the overhead costs? You know, how does it fit into your mission? Is it something that you can sustainably do? Do you need to hire people, let people go? Did you ramp up? Do you need to ramp down? So there's a lot of moving factors. You can't just say yes or no, mm-hmm. because you haven't really pulled back the pieces and evaluated it against your overall vision for the company. Does it take you where you want to go? Can it be kept up long term? What do I need to do that? What does that look like? Why would I do it? Where does it fit? So to me, that's the beauty of all of the planning. And not just saying, well, this feels good. You know, I mean, I'm an energy girl. I love being in alignment, but just going, oh, this feels right. I'm going to do this based on what, you know, what is it costing your business? You know, how did you price your services? You know, did you bring them all in? Did you reevaluate for your financials to determine if it's something you can continue to do? You know, what if your revenues don't recover? Have you looked at any of that kind of stuff? How long do you think it's going to take for your revenue to recover? So there's just a lot of questions there that need to be answered. And for me, as a business owner, that's part of the evaluation process you go through. It helps you not do shiny object syndrome.
Right.
Helps you not say, well, it was great, it worked out good, and keep running down a road that is taking you actually, you know, just incrementally further away from your actual goal.
Right.
Because right now it's survival. And what you did to survive isn't always what you need to do to thrive.
Right.
So even if you implement a new process and it's great, what do I need to do with this process going forward to get back on the thriving path versus the surviving path?
Awesome. Awesome. Do you have any, is there anything else? I mean, that was a lot of information and I don't want to overwhelm people so much. But I mean, that was great. I would love to do a deep dive in the future with you on any of those things. But did you have anything else that you would like to add?
Just overall, I want everybody to stay well, make good decisions. And if you take nothing else away other than planning is your friend. You Yes. want to plan and you want to be strategic about that. And remember that planning is here forward, strategy is future backwards. And where those things meet, that's the magic.
Nice. All right, Cindy, can you give us your social media handles for people to follow you or find you?
Yes, you can follow me by my name, Cindy R. Constable, Constable. So you can find me that way on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Cindy R. Constable.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you for having me. It was my pleasure.